This is a wonderful Sunday evening audience. I'm really glad personally that the elders chose the 4:45 time over the 6 o'clock time for our one service for these next 4 weeks. Just think about how many opportunities it'll give us after services. And since we're going to be getting out about 5:30 or a little time after that, that's going to be an excellent time to eat. And if any of you need any help along that line, just let me know. I'll be glad to cooperate. It's just wonderful to see each one of you here tonight. We have visitors in the midst. We even opened up the side. Wouldn't it be wonderful if before the season is over, we had to push all those doors back and had it full? We are just glad that you are here. It seems to me that for the last 5 or 6 years at least, and maybe for a little longer than that, there is one word that is being used in America that begins with the letter C that is used, it seems to me, more than any other word that I hear. And I have reference to the word change. It seems that when I listen to politicians speak, that I hear them always talking about change. The Democrats want to change what the Republicans are doing, and the Republicans want to change what the Democrats are doing. I'm convinced that that was one of the key words that was used by President Clinton as he was elected the first time, particularly. And then as the Congress changed to have more Republicans a few years later, the idea that was presented was we need to change. We need to change. We need to change. Every year when I get my packet to fill out my income tax, usually on the front page or the inside of the front page will be a little section that says changes made in the last year. I received something in the mail this past week that was advertising a seminar or a book or something and said, you need to know all the changes that have taken place that apply to churches and clergy relative to the IRS. And I do need to know because I want to do what the government expects. But I continue to be amazed at how many changes there are. There are even changes made in the rules that govern how the football games are played in the NFL and the baseball games. You just think back, for example, instant replay, the crossing over into other leagues for games throughout the year in the baseball area. And it's not unusual to hear some of the announcers talk about the change that has taken place. I'm not for sure, but that the times in which we live have contributed to the fact that this C word is also being used a tremendous amount relative to religion and even in the church. I read the other day where someone said, if we have gone through the same plan of worship 2 Sundays in a row, we need to make some changes. And if we don't make some changes, people won't continue to come. A man who is a preacher in the church with whom I worked side by side a few years ago recently was quoted as saying that if the church doesn't make some major changes, my children will not be faithful to the church, but will look elsewhere. I received a tape just the other day on which there were 2 sermons preached by Glenn Colley, who at one time worked here with the church, I believe, as a youth minister. 2 excellent lessons, but they were both devoted to the changes that are being promoted in the church. And I just got to thinking about that and came to the conclusion that we may be emphasizing the wrong C word. Now, folks, there are some changes that need to take place. Sometimes we need some changes relative to our enthusiasm and our spirit involved in living for Christ. And definitely there are times when we need to make some changes in our attitudes. I would suppose there's not a one of us here tonight, but who will find some times in the new year that we'll need to make some changes. May even need to make some changes in the resolutions that we'll make at the beginning of the year as we find out that there is something better or that more is needed. And definitely, we need to make some changes sometimes in our dispositions and our attitudes. And I believe we ought to always be ready to make any change that doesn't violate God's will, that will help us to do a better job promoting the gospel throughout the world. And even when we extend the invitation and remind ourselves of the invitation of Christ and encourage people to become Christians and be restored, in both of those instances, we're asking them to change because repentance is involved in both cases. And repentance means making some changes. I am well aware, fully aware, that there are some areas like that where we need to make some changes. But folks, that's not what's being talked about today when we hear people generally talk about we need to make some changes in the church. That's not what's being promoted. And I don't want to get into the specifics that are being promoted as much as I want to come back to the Bible and share with you another C word that we need to emphasize. And when we emphasize this one, we will have necessarily met the challenges that are there by those who would change the organization of the church, the worship of the church, and the plan of salvation, and such like. I would even encourage you to take your Bible tonight. I just want to look at some passages with you. I'm going to be reading from the King James Version, and that's the version that's in the back of the pews. That's one of the reasons that I use that in the pulpit. And in some of the versions that you may be reading, where I will be emphasizing this one word that begins with C, there may be some other words, and I've checked several of these, and I'll share with you some of those and show you that they are synonyms. But let's begin in John 8. The C word that I want to emphasize tonight and show you its use in the Bible is the word continue. Whereas people are saying we need to change, I'm here to tell you tonight, I believe we need to continue. I believe with all my heart that the restoration plea is a good plea. Sometimes we may fall short in carrying it out like we should. But the plea of the restoration was not to reform, but to restore. I remember on some Wednesday nights, I believe it was, Alan Hires, that you dealt with this maybe a year or so ago, in showing the difference between the Reformation and the Restoration. Those men and women who were interested in restoring New Testament Christianity approached it from the standpoint, let's go back to the Bible. And let's see what the Bible says, and let's do things in Bible ways. Today, it's not uncommon for us to hear something said, even in talking about the church, that we need to tie into the 21st century. And I understand, I think, in general what is meant, and there are some things about that with which I would totally agree. But I'm here to tell you tonight that what we need to do first is to tie into the first century. And if the restoration movement and the restoration plea is valid, of going back to the Bible and speaking where the Bible speaks and remaining silent where the Bible is silent, we need to be concerned first about first century Christianity. And perhaps more than bridging the gap from the 20th century to the 21st century, we need to bridge from the first century to the 21st century and be sure that we continue as the Bible instructs. Look at John 8, beginning at verse 30. Jesus is speaking here. He spake these words. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye, notice the C word, continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Some of you will be looking at a version that says, if ye hold to my word. If you continue in my word, if you hold to my word. Folks, one of the biggest problems that we have in religion today, and it includes all of us, is that we don't spend enough time in the Word of God. We don't get into this Word to dig into it and to understand it. Assuming that we believe this to be the Word of God, and I would assume that we do, we need to spend more time getting into this Word and understanding what it says, what Jesus taught, what the apostles taught, what God says to us. And instead of suggesting that we need some changes in the Word, Jesus says we need to continue in the Word. A few years ago, I read a statement where someone said, if we don't modernize our approach, we're going to fail. And he went ahead to explain what he was talking about by saying that what's in the Bible is not up to date. And he said, what is in the Bible doesn't give us a challenge. We need something that will challenge us. Let me just mention two things that are in this book. Be ye perfect. Now you give me a greater challenge than that. And take the gospel to all the world, to every creature. You give me a greater personal challenge than to be perfect, and there the word I hope we understand means complete. And you give me a greater work challenge than to take the gospel to the whole world. I don't believe there can ever be anything produced that gives a greater challenge than this book. It's not that we need to change what's written and update it. We need to get ourselves back into this word, and we need to continue in the word. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. You teenagers may remember that the 12th verse of this chapter is the one where Paul told the young man Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in, and he mentioned six areas, in word, in conversation or conduct, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And then he went ahead to talk to Timothy, verse 13. This is 1 Timothy 4. Till I come, give attendance or attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, by the laying on of the hands of the Presbyterian. Notice particularly these next two verses. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. Take heed to thyself relative to these qualities that are especially emphasized as being important for young people, but apply to all of us. And take heed to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Continue in the doctrine. One of the reasons, in my opinion, that there is such an appeal to want to change doctrine is because of a misunderstanding of what the word doctrine means. The word doctrine simply means teaching. And when it is used in a sense like this, it's saying almost the same thing that Jesus said back there in that previous verse when he said, continue in my word. He says, Timothy, now here's an older man giving advice to a younger preacher. And I couldn't prove this, but I would guess Timothy to be about 38 to 40 at this time. Not a teenager. Generation back at that time by many was considered to be 40 years. And I would guess him to be more than just a teenager. He is a younger preacher of the gospel, certainly younger than Paul. And Paul is telling him what to do. And he says, you're a younger man. You don't need to change the doctrine. You need to continue in the doctrine. continue in the doctrine. There is not a doctrine in the Bible that we need to change. We may need to change our attitude toward it. We may need to change our application of it. We may need to change and update the methods that we use to proclaim it. But it's not change the doctrine. It's, Timothy, you continue in the doctrine. Turn with me next to Colossians chapter 1. Back up just a little bit in the Bible as you're following. In Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 21. You that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. I believe one of the versions that some of you may be reading from uses the word maintain there, where this one uses the word continue. That's just the opposite of change, even if you look at the word maintain. He says, if you continue in the faith. The faith, those two words together, seem to describe in the Bible the system of Christianity. It was the faith that was preached, Galatians 1:23. It was the faith in which we were to stand fast, 1 Corinthians 16:13. It was the faith to which many were added in Acts 6. And it is the faith that was once delivered to all in Jude verse 3. Now he says, continue in the faith. Don't change it. You don't need to come up with something new. I think of this particularly when I see that well-arranged commercial, an advertisement that's on television, where it is presented that we need the Book of Mormon alongside the Bible in order to know the full truth. And as I see that, and I admire the way they have presented it, and I admire the enthusiasm of those who present it, not just in that ad, but from house to house. But as I see that, I think of passages like this, that we are to continue in the faith once delivered. And I'm reminded that Peter said that God has delivered unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And I also think back to my great-grandfather and great-grandmother who never heard of anything except the Bible, and wonder if they had enough to teach them what they needed to do to be saved. And I find myself firmly convinced again and again that they did. And that we need to continue in that faith, in the faith, called the one faith in Ephesians 4:4-5. Continue in the word, continue in the doctrine, continue in the faith. And then let's look at 2 Timothy 3:16-17, and particularly be reminded of some of those statements that I mentioned a moment ago, that if we don't make some changes, the younger generation's not going to remain faithful to the church as we have known it, and the system of faith as we have known it. Look in 2 Timothy 3, beginning at verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Notice this. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Paul said, Timothy, I want you to continue in the very things that you were taught as a child from the Scriptures. You don't need to change as you get older. You don't need to change what you're teaching. You don't need to change your guidelines. You don't need to change your standard. He went ahead in the rest of that verse and said, what I'm talking about is that which is able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And you know the next two verses, all scriptures inspired of God and what they will do. But isn't it interesting that he says, as he's training a young man, I want you to continue in what you learned from the scriptures. Continue. You learned these as a child. Now you're in another generation. You're ready to enter another generation, so to speak. What do you want to do? I want you to continue in those things that you learned from the scriptures. And now go with me back to Acts 2 that Adam read a few minutes ago. And in Acts, the second chapter, verse 42, how often have we heard it quoted? He says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Here's the doctrine again, but it is the teaching that's come from the apostles whom Jesus sent out to teach, and many of whom wrote the very things that you and I read from the Bible today. They continued in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. They continued to worship in the same basic way. We believe today that we need to continue to worship in the same basic way. Oh, we will learn ways to improve our singing. Our singing here is much improved over some areas where I have been part of worship. We may learn ways to draw our minds better to the Lord's Supper. I would hope that we preachers learn ways of doing a better job of presenting God's Word, but I hope we never change what is presented. Those who lead singing, all of us, I know more about singing today than I did when I was a boy. And I'm sort of like the person said, I ain't what I used to be and I ain't what I can be, but thank the Lord I ain't what I once was. I've made some progress in the singing. And I hope to make more progress, but it's still what God has told us to do. I received a bulletin this week that was quoting the commercial appeal of Monday, I would assume Monday of last week. It was reported in the commercial appeal that there was a religious group in Memphis the Sunday night before who had observed the Lord's Supper by passing coffee and wafers to the people in the pews. 3 or 4 weeks ago, David, one of the young men who spoke on Wednesday night here, who lives in Gallatin, reported something that I had not heard, that there is a group now meeting in Nashville emphasizing women's lib that have changed the Lord's Supper to milk to suggest the idea of the connection to motherhood. Continue. They continued. Didn't change. They continued in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship. I believe a study of that word will show that that has connection with our giving, with the breaking of bread, which is used there in a figure of speech to refer to the Lord's Supper, and prayer. They continued. They didn't change it. They continued. But it's also important to drop down to verse 46 in Acts 2. And this word continued in a form is used again. And this may be where we need to really stop and look at it. They continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with the people. They continued in one accord, and they continued in association with one another and mutual encouragement with one another. And it may be a valid criticism that sometimes we need to change our spirits and our attitudes and our degree of enthusiasm in how we go about doing the Lord's work. The same verse in John 4:24 that says they worshiped in truth says they worshiped in spirit. And as we emphasize the importance of continuing in all these points, especially emphasizing the word, the doctrine, and the faith, let us not be guilty of overlooking the other side of it, or the other part of it, perhaps it would be better to say, of being sure that we continue to praise God, and we continue to be from house to house with one another, and we continue to have that unity and that oneness and that one accord of mutual love for one another in the church. You see, we may very well have been emphasizing the wrong C word. We don't need to change the word or the faith or the doctrine or the worship or the attitude that we're to have toward one another that's expressed here. If we'll go back to what they had in first century Christianity, what we need to do is to continue in truth and in spirit. It's not change as much as it is continue. And as much as I've emphasized that C word, I want to close tonight by emphasizing that the real C word is Christ. Christianity. Christ-likeness. We could take that word Christ and take off many directions to emphasize what it means. The key C word is Christ. And our continuing in him and in his teachings, and as much as we can like he practiced and like he lived. He was perfection. We cannot reach that. But as much as is possible, we need to be like him. We need to continue in the word, in the doctrine, in the faith, in the worship, and in the spirit of mutual encouragement and praising God. And when we do, I believe we'll be Christ-like. And when we remind you of the invitation of Christ and we encourage you to come and confess your faith as a penitent believer and be baptized for the remission of sins, or we urge you if you need to come back and repent and confess sins and pray to God as a wayward child of God, when we urge you to do that, we're urging you to continue in what's taught in the Bible, to continue to be like Christ. And if you need to make that step tonight, we encourage you to come as together we stand and sing.
Tis the fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a living stream with a crystal gleam. From the throne of life now it flows. While the waters roll, let the weary soul hear the call that forth freely goes. Will you come to the fountain?